You just got to be happy. Make the best of your life while you got it.
I'll settle for just some music, some nice rosé, maybe a water view.
Family, holidays, bike riding.
Dancing and travelling makes me happy.
Good health.
Spending time with family, friends, and playing soccer every now and then.
What makes me happy? Music makes me happy, yeah. Music.
Good weather makes me happy, and good food.
I always define happiness as the difference between two things. The difference between what you want and what you have. So the way to make yourself happy is to either want less or to have more.
This is The Happiness Show with Terry Robson.
You are listening to The Happiness Show, and right now you have a seat in the Serenity Lounge, where we kick around issues related to happiness with some fine minds and enlightened souls, while our house band, Lance Mystic and the Endorphins, engage in orchestral manoeuvres in the semi-dark. Well, we live in what has been called a time of aggressive self-expression. You can't open your email these days without being invited to a seminar on discovering the real you or finding your passion. So within all that, you, where does serving others fit in? Nobel Prize winner Albert Schweitzer said, "I don't know what your destiny will be, but I know one thing. The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." So that's what we are going to do, seek and find how to serve with Robin Evans and Wynton Higgins as our guides. Robin Evans is one of the mission leaders at the Salvation Army Street Level Mission, which is located in the inner city suburb of Surry Hills, Sydney. Wynton Higgins, he's currently a visiting research fellow at the Transforming Cultures Research Centre, University of Technology, Sydney. He began meditating in 1987. Wynton and Robin, welcome. Please make yourself comfortable in the Serenity Lounge beanbags. Don't worry, they've been washed since the band used them. I think if we're going to talk about service, we should probably start by looking at what service is. Robin, do you want to have a stab?
Sure. Service is often something that someone does for other people or for the community or for people that are in their sphere of influence. And service isn't necessarily about duty or about having to do something for someone else, but actually about a gift of giving time and resources and connecting with people in a way that helps them and allows them to live the life that they want to live.
Outcomes are important.
Yeah.
In service for the person who is served.
Yeah. But so is outcomes are important for the person who is doing the serving.
Right.
What? So having a meaningful form of service, doing something that they are connected to so they can help other people connect to that as well.
Doing
I can
use a
personal example of in our community. We have a women's group, and one of the ladies who helps run the women's group sees the value and importance that women should have in the community. She gives her time to serve these women so that they can connect to other women who want to be valued and supported. So it's that gift of time and resource for the person who is serving as well as to those who are being served.
I completely agree with her definition. The one thing I would sort of emphasise, which is included in the definition but probably needs to be brought forward, given that most people's idea of service is something to do with charity work, is that civic virtue is also a great way to deliver service. In other words, one is might even be working politically or in all sorts of local affairs where one is being a good citizen. And I was really interested in Robin's social justice work, for instance. I mean, this is political stuff, just as her work with women is. So we need to have a fairly broad definition of service, particularly as we historically live in a highly organised society, and we can't do maximal good without intervention into the kind of organisational interstices of the society in which we live.
So service doesn't have to be a one-on-one interface with somebody.
No.
It can be
a
contributing to society.
Yes.
You can be doing it. So I just want to, both of you are immersed, obviously, in a spiritual background. So just briefly I'd like to explore the two traditions that you come from and how they look at service. Robin, Jesus himself, is it his teaching or his example that points us most strongly to service? Where is his?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
He was very much about living the teachings that he was teaching the disciples and the community.
And how central was service to his teaching?
I think it was one of the key points, because if we're going to, and we just know that from basic basic society, and that if we want to see change, we want something to be different. If it's not modelled, if it's not shown, if it's not connected to people, then it's just an idea. And Jesus connected his teachings, his ideas, with a very practical way to do that. And he showed that by spending time with those who weren't considered part of society, with outcasts. He spoke to people who weren't of his cultural group. He did things that were against a social norm to convey that there could be a different way, and that was central to his teaching, and he modelled that.
And that's one of the powers of service, that it is a demonstrable thing that has ripples beyond wherever the act takes place, doesn't it? It's something that you're doing. Winton, what about the Buddha and his teachings? Where did service sit in that?
Well, first of all, he sort of, destroyed the ground for being selfish with, doctrine of not self. And, but for him, it was also about example, you know. I mean, at one point he said, whoever will serve me should serve the sick, as that was an immediate situation he was in. But as the Buddhist tradition developed, of course, we get the development of something called the Bodhisattva ideal. And the Bodhisattva ideal is simply that one, that there is no distinction between you and me. You know, whatever suffering is going on is my suffering. But it also had this idea that intervening in that it should be a matter of joy. It should be almost a matter of play. You know, this is a way of expressing oneself. So there's no concept of sacrifice there, but of really enjoying generosity and kindness.
So is the idea there that this is actually the nature of things?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's an idea that is also present in the ancient world. You know, there was this idea that that a number of Stoics expressed that kindness was the highest human pleasure. Mm. You know, it was a purely hedonic kind of thing to do, that being kind was the best way to have fun.
Well, and given that we've talked about Buddhism and Christianity here, but all the great religious traditions talk about this, as you're alluding to, Winton, that service has its own magic and power and is a heightened level of human experience. Yet in our current culture, if I would say to you, you're treating me like a servant, I'd be saying you're treating me badly. So where has this come from?
Well, dare I mention class.
Okay.
Upstairs and downstairs.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I feel slightly uncomfortable with the idea of service too. I mean, because it can have that sort of connotation. I mean, in the Buddhist tradition, one doesn't really talk much about service. It's more a question of generosity and compassion, and how to translate that ethic into practical action. So I dare say people don't have that sense so much, although some Buddhists do talk about, the path of meditation and the path of service as two complementary kind of paths. But it is a bit tricky, because service has this niggling sense of self-sacrifice, you know, that in service sense of it should be a joy. It should be a sign of wisdom to actually be out there helping people.
And Robin, your whole career is explicitly about serving.
Yes.
Do you ever get that from people? How do you do that? Like, is there
all the time? Right. Yeah, all the time. Yeah. They say to me, "Oh, you must be a wonderful person," and I'm not a wonderful person every day. I have my moments. Yeah.
I hope today is one of the wonderful days.
I hope so too. Yeah.
So yeah, what's your answer when people are saying, "Wow"? Well,
yeah, I think there's this concept that what we do in life is for ourselves. And we are often taught, what career do we want to have? How do we want to make money? How do we want to set up our family? Or how do I want to leave a legacy? And there is this sense in which we need to have things and be higher in society. And so we have the class system, and we have those who are considered, and historically have been known as slaves or servants, and they're considered weak and vulnerable. And when we serve others and serve with them, alongside them, serve them, we actually open ourselves up to that vulnerability. And being vulnerable is really scary. And most people try to avoid being vulnerable. And I think that we end up in this situation where there's a confusion of service and being a servant.
Yes.
And people see being a servant as being a slave. But actually we can serve something greater than ourselves that benefits us and benefits others. It doesn't mean that we have no rights. It doesn't mean that we're no longer a whole person, or that we don't have goals and things that we want to do with our life. But it actually means we put others, others' needs before our own. And choosing to do that is a daily choice. It's not something we can choose to do when we're 17 and commit to that for the rest of our lives. Actually, it has to be something we do each day to ensure that we stay fresh and don't have a hard heart towards service, and do it out of duty, but do it out of love and compassion and respect.
Which is something you have to do every day. And as you said, it's not something you can do out of weakness.
Yeah.
It has to come from a place of strength.
Mm.
We're just going to go for a moment to take in some happy thoughts, but we'll be back in a moment with Wynton Higgins and Robin Evans. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. I slept and I dreamed that life is all joy. I woke and I saw that life is all service. I served and I saw that service is joy. The more you become aware of and respond to the needs of others, the richer your own life becomes. We are back chatting with Robin Evans and Wynton Higgins about service and happiness. So let's get to the nitty-gritty of that link, Wynton. It might seem an obvious question, but how does serving another enhance happiness for that other you are serving?
Well, as I was saying before, I think the Stoics were onto something in saying that this is that kindness is a great pleasure, but it is also, of course, in terms of our contemporary culture, a way to break out of the insidious narcissism inbuilt in so many of the cultural messages we're getting. And the problem with narcissism is it's a state of implosion, and one soon gets into a state of narcissistic boredom where if you're only going to hang out with number one, you're going to get really bored and frustrated, and you're on a downward spiral. So by engaging with others and looking for common sources of fulfillment, of safety, of satisfaction, of connection, that is a way to lead an expansive life. One of the problems I have in the modern day is with the happiness industry, because it does seem to me to be treading a very fine line between the kind of ever-narrowing narcissistic conception of happiness and one which is actually acknowledging the enormous importance of connection for a fulfilled human life. And so I guess in my own working vocabulary, I'm more likely to be talking about fulfillment than happiness. You can't pursue happiness. You can only do things that are going to end up making you happy.
Mm-hmm. And it's part, and the act of serving is what I'm hearing you saying there, is it's the connection.
That's right.
Between two people. That is the beginning and end of the human flourishing that occurs.
Yes.
Do you find, Robin, in your experience, that when you're doing something for someone else, are those people always receptive to the service that is being given? Do they know something good is being done for them?
Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But more often than not, that they do. And sometimes it's really hard for people to accept help.
Mm-hmm.
And people have become so isolated in their lives or by circumstance that giving of your time or giving of service to them is against any other life experience they've ever had. So that can take time to build that. But when people do receive it well, often it's that moment of, wow, someone actually cares. Someone actually cares enough that they would give me a gift, or they would spend time with me, or they would help me in this way. And it really offers people hope that things could be different, that things can change, that there is something greater that I can be a part of, and a place to belong if that connection grows and continues. We see a lot of socially isolated people in our community, and a lot of what we do is about building that connection and building that relationship. It isn't about just providing programs and service, but actually they're entry points for people to be able to connect on a deeper level and have a place of belonging and community and connection.
This leads into motivation. When you're in the act of serving, what you are wanting to achieve is really important. Is it necessary to surrender outcomes?
I think it is. This is the old kind of yogic idea that one does the best job one possibly can and then just disengage from the outcomes. Not in the sense of one, of being unself-critical, or learning some lessons about how to do it better next time, but in the sense that it's the doing that matters. And that doing has to also be informed with a great deal of wisdom. In Buddhism, the two cardinal virtues are compassion and wisdom, hopefully in a working relationship. And there's always the question of how well am I doing this? But this is, of course, something that should be a reflection that should be recurring while one is on the job. To be looking back and assessing, look at the wonderful effect I've had or something can be, again, a kind of ego indulgence rather than a way of going back into the practice and trying to do it better as you go.
Okay, so Robin, how important in the act of serving is it to lose yourself?
I think that isn't necessarily a sense of losing yourself, but being okay that the outcomes may change and they may be not what you expected. A wise Savo once said to me, there's no failure, only feedback. And so often we enter into relationships or service or things in the community that we expect are going to happen and go a certain way. And when you work with people and are really purposeful about your connection and about serving, then lots of things can happen. Lots of things can be different, and things can happen in a really unexpected way, often quite positive, but we have to be okay to let go of our agenda for what we think should happen in that person or in that community setting, and actually just be a support and at times maybe a guide to ensure that it's having a positive influence, whatever that influence may be.
I think this is really important. You're letting go of the agenda.
Yeah.
That's easy to say.
It's really easy to say, but it really can be really hard to do.
It can be really hard. So how do we do that? How do we train ourselves?
Acknowledge that we can say we want to let go of the agenda, but at times some of our programs and support systems are funded by other means, might be funded by the government or funded by a private donor who does have outcomes that we're required to meet. So it is also about, in those situations, managing that tension of seeing those outcomes as maybe a baseline, but actually we can do more. So, for example, in the centre that I work in, we provide welfare assistance to people who are in need of food and clothing and other things. It's a very baseline service. But that doesn't mean we can't go above and do more and encourage them to be a part of life skill groups and women's groups and really embed them in our community so they have more support than just the basics and they're able to serve people in a greater way, not just from that baseline model.
Well, we are running out of time, but Winton, in order to serve, what is the work that we need to do on ourselves?
By meditating.
How did I know you were going to say that?
No, I think it's incredibly important to be self-aware. When doing this sort of work, it's important to be at all times alert to one's own motivation. The talk of the agenda is really important because one of the requirements, I think, of effective service is to empower rather than disempower the person or the people that you're seeking to help. So you know, this is, I think, why the reason why in the 19th century in particular, you know, charity work got a very bad name, because the agenda was pretty rigid and pretty unself-aware in terms of the, you know, a lot of the people who were out there doing so-called service. So the agenda always has to be subject to instant rectification or just scrapping, because you know, if you're helping people, their initial situation might be quite dire, so the agenda can be quite quite legitimate. But at some point, they're going to get up on their feet and say, "Right, I'm taking my life back," and one has to be ready for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, indeed, that should be the point of it, I think, is to return their agency to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, just winding up, Robin, reading Christian texts on the nature of service. The point is often made that what you are serving is not the person, but the God within them.
Yeah.
How does that idea permeate what you do?
Yeah, well, certainly Jesus said that what you do for the least of these, you do for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that we see people and any person as an opportunity to be serving serving Jesus and serving his calling and his mandate on Christians. And certainly that is the strength in which we draw our service from, in that we can't do this alone, we can't do this by ourselves, but actually we are empowered through Christ's love to be able to support and love and serve others.
And Winton, is this the power of service, no giver, no receiver?
That's right.
We are all one.
Yes, that's right. I mean, but through generosity and compassion, we're wearing away at the chief delusion that's causing our own suffering, which is, you know, that we are an isolated individual. There's you and there's me, you know, and that delusion is so sticky that anything you can do to dissolve it is going to be important. And one way to do that, of course, is to constantly be expressing one's compassion and generosity in action.
Well, Winton, Robin, thank you very much for your service to The Happiness Show. And listeners, we are off for some food for our mood.
Hi there, I'm Samantha Gowing from Gowing's Food, Health, Wealth. And today my happy ingredient is turkey. Now, turkey usually only comes out at the festive season, but it's a wonderful ingredient that you can have throughout the year. It's packed full of an amino acid called tryptophan. And what that does as an amino acid, it helps to convert into your happy, loving, smiley neurotransmitter that we call serotonin. So turkey really plays an important role as a lean white meat all year round and can certainly help to boost those all-important serotonin levels. Obviously, it's a positive source of animal protein, so it's going to help build lean muscle mass and really get you going and cheer you up no end. So I've got a little recipe here, which is based on the Chinese recipe of Sung Choi Bao, which you may have had before, which is turkey mince within a lettuce leaf. So you'll need some turkey mince, really good quality organic turkey mince, and you just cook that off with some onions, garlic, some Chinese five spice, a few carrots, a little bit of ginger, of course, garlic, and a pinch of coriander and cumin. Now you can just stir fry that gently in a wok to brown the turkey. You can add different soy, or preferably a wheat-free tamari, to that to season it. And then a squeeze of fresh lime, scoop that into a fresh lettuce leaf, and you've got the most beautiful turkey Sung Choi Bao that you can have as an entree, share as a salad style, or have as a quick lunch to go. So that's turkey Sung Choi Bao with a big sunny smile. Happy day!
You've been listening to The Happiness Show on ABC Local Radio. Visit us on our Facebook page, just search for The Happiness Show, or go to abc.net.au and put The Happiness Show in the search engine. The Happiness Show is produced by the merry Amanda Roberts, with wayward enthusiasm from Lance Mystic and the Endorphins. I'm Terry Robson. Next week, we look within for happiness with Sister Jayanti of the Brahma Kumaris. I'll see you then, and in the meantime, come on, get happy.